If you want, you can mark your songbooks to number 271. That's the song that Robert has selected for the song of invitation after my lesson tonight. Appreciate him leading that song. The name of the TV program that Kurt and Randy and tomorrow Eric will be involved in is called Give Me the Bible. And this is the theme song for that song. And David Dugas and myself are there behind the controls, playing the music, and switching the cameras back and forth. And you get a chance, if you're interested, we have DVDs. You can actually get a copy of what's being produced. Well, next Sunday, of course, will be January 1st, 2006. It's really hard to believe that another year has gone by so rapidly. And I'm sure some of us have been thinking about the past year. And as Kurt mentioned this morning, some of us are probably thinking about some goals that maybe we would like to set for ourselves as we begin in 2006. And as Eric asked a couple weeks ago, as you look back, you know, how'd you do in 2005? How was your faith in 2005? Did it grow? Did you have some setbacks? Well, that's the past. We've got a new year coming. We can set things right, plan to do things that will help us strengthen our faith. And this week's U.S. News and World Report, did you get a copy of that, Randy? Not yet. Okay. On the front cover, it said, 50 ways to improve your life in 2006. I looked through all of those 50 different ways. Didn't say anything about reading the Bible. Didn't say that at all. And I'm just wondering, is reading the Bible on your list for 2006? You know, every year we encourage people to read the Bible. Read the Bible every day. And in the back there we have schedules of a way that you can read the entire Bible in 1 year's time. And I'll just show you a couple of examples here of the types of helps that we make available to you. There is one that's put out by Mark and Dina Roberts, and it's a schedule that has you reading the Bible 5 days a week. So you know, if you try to read the Bible every 7 days, something can come up and prevent you from reading it 7 days a week. But you read it 5 days a week, and you only read it 50 weeks of the year. So that gives you a couple of weeks. If you go on vacation or something comes up, you're sick, you have a way of catching up. So that's one approach. Another approach is to buy a copy of LaGard Smith's Bible that he's put together. It's a New International Version translation, and it's put together in chronological order. And in some of the scriptures, like in the Gospels, where the same event is being talked about, he only puts in one of the translations, one of the Gospel writers there. So it's a little shorter from that standpoint. And basically, every day, there's a section of the Bible that you read. Well, maybe you don't want to chew off the whole Bible for the whole year. And I downloaded this from the internet, and this is daily reading of the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Proverbs. And so this is another help that you can get a copy from me if you're interested. Well, you know, as we look in the Bible, we will notice that there certainly are people who read the scriptures. I think one that we just talked about not too long ago is the Ethiopian eunuch. And on the TV program, we're kind of going over the book of Acts again. And so it was, I think it's last week, yeah, we talked about the Ethiopian eunuch. And he had been in Jerusalem worshiping God. He'd traveled all the way from Ethiopia. And he was on his way returning. And in Acts 8, verses 27 and 28, we read, it said, "So he, Philip the evangelist, got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures." And he's a pretty important fellow. "And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah." And it was mentioned on the TV program. He's a pretty fortunate man. He had a copy of Isaiah. In those days, it isn't like us today. I'm sure most of us have multiple Bibles in our home. You know, but back then, Bibles were handwritten on animal skins or on parchment paper, and very often in scroll form. So here he had the Isaiah scroll, and he was just taking his trip back home, long way to go, and he was reading the Isaiah scroll. As was mentioned this morning in Kurt's lesson, the Bereans. You know, Paul had been in Macedonia, and he was working his way down, and he had gotten chased out of Thessalonica, and he had gone to Berea. And there he was also preaching first to the Jews in the synagogue, and then he would go to the Gentiles. But it says there in Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, it said, "And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these," referring to the Bereans, "were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." And as Kurt mentioned this morning, I mean, it's important that we make sure we don't just listen to what men have to say. I don't know if Paul was an eloquent speaker. We know that Apollos was an eloquent speaker. And so you when you hear someone that can speak very well, you may trust what they're telling you. But the Bereans made sure that the things that Paul said about what the scriptures teach were true. And they daily examined the scripture. And that's, I think, the key point I want to make is this daily thing that they were doing. Well, we also see in the Bible that it talks about public reading. And in fact, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." And I personally think that what Paul was talking about here was when the church came together, when the body of Christ came together in assembly. You know, that's when he's saying, you know, you're going to teach and you're exhort, but one of the things you need to pay attention to is the public reading of scriptures. And I'm going to get back to this point a little later on in my presentation. Paul, in one of his prison epistles, had something to say about the things that he had written to them. In Colossians 4:16, we read, Paul said, "When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea." And I don't know if this is where I wanted to mention this or not. Maybe it's a little further on down. But Paul expected the letters that he wrote to people to churches to be read. And you have to remember that first century Christians, a lot of them were illiterate. They couldn't read. They couldn't write or read. And if you've seen some of the early manuscripts, you can kind of understand why it was even difficult to read, because they didn't separate the words with spaces. What you see on a page is just a lot of Greek letters, just continuous. And so a person who could read was really a person who had practiced and talented in being able to do those kind of things. Got a little music going on here. I just wanted to show you some Old Testament scriptures that talk about public reading. And these are found in 2 Kings chapter 23 verses 1 and 2 and Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 through 8. And I'll just put them up on the screen here for you. I don't know if you can see those in the back row or not. Good. In 2 Kings, we have the king Josiah, and he went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. It's hard to believe. But there was a period of time during the kings when the Jews weren't reading the law of Moses. They had lost their, misplaced, I guess it's the right word. The priests weren't doing their job. I mean, they were supposed to be teaching the people from the law, but they weren't doing it. And when these scrolls were found, Josiah the king says, these people have to hear what God has said to us. And so he read it to what? All the people, both small and great. All right? And in Nehemiah, this was after the Babylonian captivity, and the first wave of people came, and then the second wave of people came. And we have Ezra, the priest, has brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. And he read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of law. The law was read to them from early morning to midday. Do we do that? Do we have public readings from early morning to midday? I'm not aware of that. I know when Buddy Payne was up here, and he likes to read scriptures as he gives his lesson, and I do too. I figure if I read scriptures to you, I know I'm getting it right. Whereas if I try to say things with my own words, I'll probably get it wrong. But Buddy would always say, well, I'm going to read about four verses or five verses. I realize that after I read one or two verses, eyes are going to roll back. And he said, but I want you to listen. These people listen from early morning to midday. Public reading. So certainly reading the Bible can be profitable and can certainly improve our lives as it improved the lives of the Israelites and those of the early Christians. I want to shift gears a little bit here and talk about a recent article I read in a magazine that's called Biblical Insights. It's a magazine that put together by Christians. It's been around for probably 5 years now. We know a lot of the people who write articles for it. In fact, one of the gentlemen is Roger Schaus. And remember, we had Roger here for a meeting in the spring. And in fact, this particular issue was the October issue, and he was the editor for that issue. So, you know, he thought of what the theme should be, and he went out and he got all the people to contribute the different articles that he wanted to put in it. So he was basically responsible for that particular issue. And what the issue was all about was what, as a Christian, you might want to have in your own library. What kind of books would you like to have to help you with your faith in your library? And so that's basically what the issue was about. We talked about, you know, pictorial dictionaries and concordances and various debates and different things that preachers and men over the years have felt that were valuable to them in their studies of God's Word. And in the beginning part of it, Roger wrote this, and I'm going to read it to you. He said, reading is such a wonderful gift. God saw the value of it as he had his message preserved in written record. I mean, what God has said that he wants mankind to know has been preserved in written record. Words can be studied. They can be memorized. They can be reflected upon. They can be quoted. Through words, emotions, actions, and consequences can be seen. Many do not like to read. That is a shame. Some spend a lot of time reading things that do nothing for them spiritually. No matter how great the book is, nothing should replace reading God's Word. This should come first in our lives. Our eyes can be opened as we spend time looking at what God has written. Make it a regular practice to read your Bible. It will make a difference in your life. Well, let's ask the question, why spend this time reading the Bible? Well, one, of course, and I show some scriptures here, is to know the truth. Know what God has said to us. Know what the Word of God says. That would certainly be. And we can read John 8:31 and 32 and 17 and 7, where I'll get to these in a moment. We can read Psalm 117, 160, and Ephesians 3, 1 through 4, and 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 13. And I guess we have enough time to read these scriptures. Remember, be patient with me. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures tonight. Try to concentrate. Try to listen attentively. John 8, 31, 32 reads, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" And John, in chapter 17, verse 17, says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." So, what we call truth is found in the Word of God. You know, men have written thousands of books. And we read maybe lots of books. Randy last week said he loves to read. Okay. But I'm sure he'll be the first to say, not everything I read is true. But certainly when we read the Word of God, we know we are learning truth. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." Ephesians, written by Paul, says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which is given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, but by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." And so, Paul is telling us that the things he wrote, he got by revelation. And when you read it, you can understand things that God has now revealed to us. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man? You don't know my thoughts, but I do. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And Paul wrote these down. And so we now have a written record of things that God wants us to know. Well, what are some other reasons that we should be reading our Bibles? Well, to keep from drifting away from the Word. Eric gave a fine lesson on drifting in our faith. And he used the scripture in Hebrews 2, verse 1, where it says, "For this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." And another reason is to be able to use God's Word properly. 2 Timothy 2:15 reads, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." King James says to study, to present yourself approved of God. And another good reason for reading our Bibles on a regular basis is to be able to teach others. And Paul, in his writing to Timothy, said, "And the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And the Hebrew writer was concerned about the faith of those brethren, because by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And so if we're not involved in daily Bible reading and study, we're going to not grow, we're going to regress, and we're going to be like babes again. And certainly, we don't want to be that way. God doesn't want us to be that way. I'm sure that you can think of more reasons why we should be reading our Bible. And he says, "Yeah, I got some reasons." Okay, I'm going to go back to that Biblical Insight magazine. And there was one of the first articles was written by Dee Bowman. And we all know who Dee is. He's been up here a couple times for meetings as well. And, of course, it was talking about a religious library. How do you put together a religious library, and what is recommended by these various men? And Dee said, well, there are two books that he considers to be very valuable in a religious library. One was How to Read a Book. I never thought about that. Yeah. There's a book on how to read a book. How do you read a book if you don't know how to read it? Read the book. The other one is How to Speak and How to Listen. I'm speaking, you're listening. There's a proper way for someone to be a speaker. And Dee teaches young men how to preach. And one of the things I've noticed about Dee is periodically as he's preaching, he wants to get the attention of his audience. He'll slap his hands, you know. You see people, I jump, you know. And he'll just slap his hands, clap it, you know, and it, you know, kind of styles you. And why does he do that? Well, he's emphasizing a point, but he's noticing that some people aren't listening. They're starting to nod off. So it's up to a speaker. If I've got something to say to you, I've got to make sure I'm talking in such a way that you're going to pay attention to what I have to say. I need to organize my thoughts in such a way that you will listen. Similarly, you have a responsibility. If you're sitting out there, I mean, did you come here to listen to me, or did you come here to sleep? I mean, what was the purpose of coming? And so you'll have to work at that as well. And I think, you know, he from these two books, he said, you know, writing and reading kind of go together, just as speaking and listening go together. And so these two books kind of talk about these kind of things. And so when we're listening, we're basically have our mind engrossed in the process. We have to be actively involved as a listener. And like I mentioned, you can sort of tell if people are listening to you when you are involved in public speaking, because you can kind of look in the eyes, and if you see their heads nodding when you make some points, you say, well, probably they're listening to what I'm saying. They're following along. Or have I lost them? Then, you know, am I speaking in such a way they can't understand me? And so it's that kind of feedback. I think, though, that the thing that I wanted to get out of this article and present to you tonight was reading the Bible aloud. In fact, that was the title of his article, Reading the Bible Aloud. And he said, you should try doing this. I'm talking about when you're reading daily the Bible. Have you thought about reading it aloud? You kind of hear yourself say the words. It kind of adds vitality and maybe even better concentration. I started doing this. You can ask Janet. She hear me. Who are you talking to? I'm down in the basement, you know, reading as I would like prepare for Wally's lesson, you know, in the morning. And one of the other things that I started doing about a year ago was I bought myself a New King James translation of the Bible. I mean, I've been reading the New American Standard for 35 years. And the problem you have with that is not only do you know what's on the page, I mean, you just know all those words. And so you read and it's and you don't read. You just, your eyeballs kind of just pass over the words. And so one of the things that's happened by changing translations, I have to look at every word again. But then I did one thing even beyond that. I started reading out loud. And it's been a big help for me. It slows down the reading process so that it's at the same speed at which, when you're having a conversation, you hear. And remember I said, like a lot of the letters that were written were expected to be read to the Christians. They were illiterate people. So they had the ability to listen and gain understanding by somebody speaking those words out loud. And so this is maybe something that you might consider doing as you start your Bible study program, your Bible reading program in the year 2006. Another good reason for reading the Bible out loud is to have your wife say, "What are you doing?" is to, you know, if your children are around, they see you not only reading the Bible, but they hear you reading the Bible. They hear you saying those words, those names, those cities, and everything, and pronouncing them, things of that nature. Okay. And like I said, try it. I think you'll like it. In fact, Word D preaches, the Southside Church of Christ in I think Pasadena, Texas, they have started a 20-minute period before their evening service where someone gets up and reads Scripture. And apparently, they're having an excellent response to this approach. So, Wally and I have decided that, let me put it this way, the elders have decided that we would like to implement a program during our evening service of Bible reading, public Bible reading. What we're thinking about is a period of about 10 to 15 minutes right after the announcements are made. So, you know, first thing we're going to do, and we're going to start in the New Testament. We're going to read Matthew's Gospel, and various men can volunteer to be part and parcel of this process. The only requirement is that you practice so that you are familiar with what you're going to read to the congregation, so that you can pronounce the words that are there, and in your way, whatever way you pronounce them. But this way, it'll certainly benefit the one who's doing the public scripture reading, but hopefully it'll teach us, it'll sharpen us in our ability to listen as well. We're going to probably also try to put the words up on the projector, and we will stick to one translation, and so we can make available a printed out sheet with, let's say, January 1st, we're going to read Matthew chapters 1 through 3. And so whoever gets that assignment, whoever volunteers for that, will have a copy. I think I have some tapes. So you can borrow a tape if you want to listen to some of the words, some of the names, maybe learn how to pronounce them as well. And so this is kind of how we're going to go through with it. And so this is what a part of, you know, we'd have to scroll through various screens to cover all of chapter 1, 2, and 3. And again, I'm asking the question, back row, can you read that? I get a yes. Good. Okay. So that particular font size, you know, and there's quite a few. That isn't all of chapter 1. That's probably about a third of chapter 1. So we can flip through. And the person that, I could sit down there in the front row and do it for the person, or so that they can just concentrate on reading publicly what is being said. Okay. The other thing, of course, this is going to do is it's going to take away some time that the person who is giving the lesson for that night is going to have to prepare half-hour sermons, not 40-minute sermons or 45-minute sermons. And that's not easy, is it, Kurt? Not easy. I mean, you have to work harder at preparing a shorter lesson than a longer one. You have to be organized. You have to really get your basic ideas down this way. And so that's the way we plan on organizing it. And so in conclusion, and I'm trying to stick to my half an hour rule tonight, I'd like to say that I hope I've encouraged you to make plans to read the Bible every day or get involved in some kind of daily reading program for the year 2006. And sort of recommending that you consider trying doing your reading out loud. As I've mentioned, we're going to implement during our evening service a 10 to 15 minute period of reading from the Bible publicly. And while I'm at it, let's make a commitment to come to the Bible classes as well. This is where we actually study the Bible. We spend more time in depth and in studying particular books. We're going to be studying the book of Colossians on Sunday morning, and we're going to look at the Minor Prophets on Wednesday evening. So please make a commitment to do that. I am running out of time, and so I won't go into some of the other things that I was going to say about the ability to listen. Just that when I grew up as a kid, we did not have television. And so I was trained in how to listen to a radio program and could basically visualize what you see now on a television screen when programs are being shown. And so I think as we listen to the scriptures being read and learn to train ourselves to be better listeners, we can actually see the things that are being said. We will have a better, deeper understanding of what God has said to us. So, let's take out our songbooks and turn to number 271. And if you're here tonight and you've studied your Bible and you understand what you need to do to be a Christian, that you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins, to make changes in your lives, to turn from the direction you're going to a new direction, to confess the name of Jesus before men, and to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're here tonight and you have questions about what you need to do in order to be saved, this is an opportunity as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.